gentlemen. I'm the microphone Messiah, Philip Antoine. I'm joined by Brandon Tanguma, and we are here to pay tribute to Wyndham Rotunda, also known as Bray Wyatt, or also known as Husky Harris, if you remember that character. Yeah, on Thursday afternoon, a tweet went out from Triple H. Just received a call from WWE Hall of Famer Mike Rotunda, who informed us of the tragic news that our WWE family member for life, Wyndham Rotunda, also known as Bray Wyatt, unexpectedly passed away earlier today. Our thoughts are with his family. We ask that everyone respect their privacy at this time. And people, I know people were refreshing Twitter and just like, nah, that's not real. That's not real. This tweet was sent to me by Baby Huey, and I was driving at the time. I was like, what? Like, no, that's not right. But it, unfortunately, it's true. And I know a lot of people have hopped on the tributes and everything, but we waited a few days, you know, just to kind of process this and, you know, do Bray right, do him service. Brandon, how are you doing, man? What were your thoughts? Because I sent it to the Bulletcast group chat. What were your thoughts immediately when you saw this?
I mean, I was absolutely shocked. I was at the gym, just kind of, you know, got on my phone, saw the text, saw the tweet, and I was like, you know, it was a rather long tweet, and I was like kind of going through it. And then it kind of clicked, and it was like, before they hit the news, I was like, oh God, it's Bray, isn't it? Because we kind of knew that he was having some sort of health issues, but then it came out that he was either close to or has been cleared to return. And it was just like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was just so crazy and so sudden. And I mean, we haven't seen something like that on it. I mean, since Brody Lee. And it's just so crazy that the two guys who have passed away in their prime at such a young age are just so intrinsically linked. I mean, I'm wearing the AEW Brody Lee shirt, and it's just kind of eerie that it's happened to those two guys. And I mean, it sucks. I mean, you know, we pay tribute to Terry Funk on the last episode, and you know, Terry Funk's 79. He lived a long life. He had a great career. And it's sad when someone dies at the age of 79, but at least they lived a full life. And unfortunately, Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, didn't have that. And that just makes it so much worse.
Yeah, 36 years of age. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's unreal. The tributes poured out. I mean, a lot of people said their pieces. Obviously, people who were close to him and worked with him. SmackDown scrapped whatever plans they had, and they did a tribute show to both Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt. We'll really dissect matches from that on the regular episode in a few days. But yeah, I mean, the tribute was beautiful. And this is one of the things WWE does right. They get these tributes down packed. I mean, obviously they do the 10 bell salute. Eric Rowan was there, and it's unfortunate for him to have to show up for these shows. Him and Braun were there as the rocking chair was on the aisle way. The lights went out. They had the light on it. And then, God, I mean, for the fans in Louisville, unprompted, they didn't have any words on the screen to sing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," just like that. That was so touching. And of course, you know, lights went out in the fireflies, and they did the lamp in the middle of the ring after the main event match was over. What were your thoughts on the tribute to Bray Wyatt?
I thought the tribute was great. You know, they did the 10 bell salute, all the wrestlers on the stage, and you know, you said all the things that, you know, shout out to that Louisville crowd. You know, they paid for, thought they were going to get a standard bloodline heavy, probably SmackDown show. And in the span of 24 hours, they get a completely reworked, rewritten show. And they, you know, they showed out. They, as you said, had the whole world in his hands chant, which I thought was just like a eerie, great touch to like the whole thing. And it's, as I said, like, it's so sad that, you know, someone that young passed away, and it showed, you know, how much of a touch he had, not only on the fans, but then like everybody in that locker room, because everyone's, you know, come out and talked about how great he was and how fun loving, because we see the creepy, weird, super creative horror genre Bray Wyatt, but behind the mask, he seemed like a very nice, fun-loving guy.
Absolutely. I mean, nobody's had a bad thing to say about him. We've seen, personal photos that wrestlers have had and fans have had, and just a big smile on his face. I mean, I guess where we're gonna go with this, we're gonna talk about the initial thoughts of when the character Bray Wyatt debuted. I mean, he was Husky Harris on the game show version of NXT, the Army Tank with the Ferrari engine, I believe was the tagline. But yeah, that character goes away, goes back to FCW and the early stages of the revamped NXT, created this Bray Wyatt character and officially made his debut on the main roster in 2013. But I think just before SummerSlam, like July of 2013. So do you remember back to that time, Brandon? What were your thoughts on the Bray Wyatt character and the Wyatt family and those vignettes?
I mean, I remember, well, at the time, like if you just asked me like a week ago, I probably wouldn't have remembered that much. But then kind of going back and like looking through my camera roll, it kind of dawned on me. Like I didn't realize his debut was like that was at in that era. I thought it was maybe like a little bit earlier in 2013 because I ended up going because there was a San Jose SmackDown like the week before. And then there was like a SummerSlam or something. SummerSlam was 2014, but then also the house show or the SmackDown was, before the SummerSlam 2013, which, Daniel Bryan won and, nothing happened after that. But yeah, Bray Wyatt was there and he cut a promo in his rocking chair with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan behind him. And it was just like something, I've never really seen before. Someone who was in wrestling, took a break, and then came back. And I thought his character was just super intriguing and super interesting. And I think it's going to be a common theme as we kind of go throughout his career. But it's almost kind of like a what if with Bray Wyatt, because I really did enjoy the cult leader stuff. And I thought his words and his promos were super interesting. And once he gets into the ring, that's where it kind of, took a turn a little bit, just because what he's saying is such outlandish things and such has such big ideas, it kind of is capped by what you can do in a wrestling ring. But I thought his character, like the cult leader character, had such potential. And in that WWE environment, I thought he did as well of a job as anyone could.
Absolutely. I mean, as a big man who's training, Bray Wyatt, a big man that could move in the ring. I mean, don't get it twisted. He was quick. He could throw that clothesline when they're running from behind and turn it, snap on a dime and lay him out. Just he was there were good moments in the ring, man. Especially when he would do the spider walk, and I've seen the clip of I've seen it. Mania 30 just kind of getting freaked out, like what the hell is going on here? I guess we're just gonna run it down, man. I mean, the Shield and the Wyatt family, that famed six man. I just watched it the other day, Elimination Chamber 2014. I mean, just for them to go over on the Shield, that was crazy at the time because nobody really beat the Shield like that. I mean, what the Rhodes brothers did, but that was really it. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how big that the Wyatts were, and then the Daniel Bryan feud. What are your thoughts on all that stuff?
Sorry, I was technical difficulties, but yeah, I mean the six man tags with the Wyatts and the Shield were just absolutely fantastic, and it kind of did show. That was kind of like a dream match. I mean, who knows? A six man tag dream match wasn't something we kind of thought about back in the day, but I thought they really delivered, and it showcased all of them. All of them, but especially like the Shield. Like the Wyatts were so intrinsic to the elevation of the Shield. Of obviously Dean kind of like as that leader, but then obviously Seth being that high flyer crazy man, and then Roman kind of as the big dog cleaning house and taking the hot tag and doing all that stuff, and they were kind of I forget exactly how it panned out, but they were kind of just apart, and then finally they came together, and then when they did, it was magic, and it was fantastic. Because I think a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about with Bray, it's like promos and vignettes and stuff, but those matches with the Wyatt family, and also some of the tag team match, a lot of the tag team matches, six man tag matches early on, is kind of, I would say, some of the best stuff that Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family did in the ring wise.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and we, you know, when people die in this business, they will say, you know, they have a great mind for the business. And I think that's just kind of a thing people say. I mean, but this one, you can't deny a fantastic mind for this industry. I mean, everything was meticulous. Everything he said had purpose. But it sounded, people thought he was just rambling. No, everything he said, there was a reason why he said it. And I mean, just the mind to create the Fiend character. I mean, the Firefly Funhouse, when that stuff was going on, it was the best thing on television. I mean, we were here, we talked about it every single week. I think we named like 4 or 5 episodes in a row just based off of something Bray Wyatt said in the Firefly Funhouse. And then the Fiend to debut, and just this dark character at that point in time, and really cookie cutter WWE was something special. Look back at the Fiend, man, from that stuff. And then, you know, the Firefly Funhouse match he had with Cena at the Pandemic Mania, which is just a real masterpiece. You know, it's his Sistine Chapel.
So when it comes to the Fiend, as you guys listen to this podcast, you would know I wasn't like the biggest fan of the Fiend. It wasn't exactly like my type of what I look for in wrestling. It was kind of like outside the realms of quote unquote sport. But I did think there was some, you know, some moments there. And as I said, with kind of the cult leader stuff, Bray Wyatt was just such a creative mind, and maybe his ideas were just too big for wrestling. Like, if he wanted to create a Fiend in cinema, in a movie, he wanted to do what he was doing on a, you know, on the silver screen or whatever, maybe his full vision could have came to fruition and it would have been something spectacular. Now, you know, I really did enjoy the Firefly Funhouse stuff. You know, there was some inside jokes and there was some fun stuff. And then the Fiend comes around, and then kind of, you know, once he gets in the ring, once again, that's kind of where we ran into some issues and, you know, booking wise and everything like that. But there was no doubt that even though it might not have been my cup of tea, there was definitely an audience for it, and a lot of people loved it. You know, I listened to a podcast and kind of recapping SmackDown and going over Bray Wyatt's career, and you know, there was some people who were like really deep into horror, and they kind of broke it down of kind of how Bray Wyatt, you know, the Firefly Funhouse Fiend was like the mask of the Fiend, and then he, you know, they're fighting within each other, and you know, kind of the internal conflict. And you know, it did open my eyes a little bit to kind of like the deeper story of what Bray was going to. And this, you know, that's also the sad thing about Bray coming back and doing the, you know, the Wyndham Six or whatever ultimately it was going to be, with no Vince seemingly kind of, you know, over everything and controlling it. We thought maybe this could have been the time for Bray to kind of break out and show us his true vision. And just sadly, we did not get that.
No, we didn't. Let's talk about the return. You know, I mean, the White Rabbit would play throughout arenas for months. I was at one of the Raws, and it played, and it would play during commercial breaks, and we were wondering what this was, and you know, rumors were going around that it was Bray, and then what was it? Extreme Rules, I think it was last year that he returned. You know, with the lantern, and he wore the Uncle Howdy mask and took it off, and it was him. And that promo he did on that following SmackDown back was just so emotional. That was Wyndham. It wasn't Bray Wyatt. It wasn't the cult leader. It wasn't a derivative of Waylon Mercy. It was Wyndham Rotunda speaking to the fans, you know, saying thank you for sticking by him after he had gotten released and all these other things, and, you know, being so into his return. And, you know, the return, we were wondering what was going to happen. I mean, he did the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match with LA Knight, and that was it. You know, we don't know what was going to happen with Uncle Howdy and any of that stuff, which is unfortunate. I really did want to see where that went. But, I mean, probably the best hyped return we've ever seen. I mean, it was just so meticulous, like I said before, with everything he did. We can't hear you, brother.
Well, it would help if I unmute my microphone. You know, it wouldn't be an episode. It would be a tribute if I didn't unmute my microphone. But, you know, the return, as you said, was just super meticulous, very well planned. We had, like, just random people walking in the crowd with the White Rabbit sign. And, yeah, I think we haven't seen a debut or return like that since like the Y2J or the, you know, Save Us Y2J stuff back in the day, where like in total there was like a lot of just stuff that was on the screen that I think people wrote into and was like, oh, this is what this means and blah blah blah. But like Bray actually did that stuff, that all the stuff Bray put out there and all the like little hints and QR codes and things like that was actually stuff that was meant to happen. It wasn't just the Jericho stuff where it was nonsense for the sake of nonsense. That was nonsense. At least Bray had the mind and the vision to make all that stuff make sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, I mean, he was a special being, man. I mean, we saw the creative outlet. I mean, with the Fiend, you know, the House of Horrors match that happened, Firefly Funhouse stuff. What are some of your favorite Bray moments, man? You have any?
I mean, that it's not like a positive moment, to be honest, but like that Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins, like I will never forget.
It was polarizing.
It was definitely polarizing. You know, in 2019, AEW just started. There was AEW chance throughout, and it was just like, okay, like, is AEW going to like capitalize off of this, and kind of WWE goes down and AEW goes up? And, you know, AEW is in a good place right now, but WWE is kind of in another stratosphere right now. But, you know, after I heard the news, I kind of went through the camera roll and kind of looked at stuff, and just thinking about it, I was like, geez, like, I've seen a lot of Bray Wyatt stuff. Like, as I said, I was at that SmackDown when he nearly, you know, was near his debut. And then SummerSlam 14, he takes on Chris Jericho. And it wasn't like the first time they did the Firefly stuff, like the lights in the crowd, but it was kind of one of the first big shows they did. So that was like a cool experience. Then, you know, fast forward to WrestleMania 31 with The Undertaker, and then obviously Hell in a Cell 2019. So, you know, there's a lot of Bray Wyatt matches and like a lot of memories that I've seen live of Bray Wyatt. And it didn't kind of dawn on me until, unfortunately, he passed away and I kind of thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was something,
and also the House of Horrors match. How can you forget that?
Yes, how can you forget that? It was something special, man. You know, when the lights would go out and that sound would hit, and then everybody would turn on their cameras and the fireflies are out, and you know he emerges from the smoke with the lantern. It's one of the great entrances of all time. We can say that, man. And then you know with Raw 30 that happened earlier this year, and Undertaker looking at him to be the new face of fear. You know. We will never get to know what could have come of that, but we were going to talk about career highlights. I mean, tag team champion two times over, two time Universal champ, WWE champ. I think that's my favorite moment. You know, Elimination Chamber 2017, he wins the WWE Championship. A guy that shouldn't have come back from the Husky Harris character at all. Came back, created a character, worked hard, and reached the pinnacle of the business. So, I mean, like, he was the WWE champion. He said it, you know, he literally has the whole world in his hands, you know.
You kind of cut out when I had some difficulties. When we talked about the Shield and stuff, did you go over like that Daniel Bryan run and, you know, the turn? Cause I just feel like as a huge Daniel Bryan fan that I am, I just think that was such a big moment for his career and also Wyatt's career. And then, I would argue that match Bryan and Wyatt had at Royal Rumble
2014.
Yeah, 14 might be Bray Wyatt's best singles match he had in his career. Like I absolutely love that match.
I was thinking about that. Maybe that'll be maybe we'll go back and do a watch along to that and bring those back. But yeah, I mean that's a pinnacle moment, and just how loud it was when Daniel turned on Bray when he joined the Wyatt family for a short period of time. But yeah, man, I mean him winning the WWE Championship, he reached the pinnacle of the business. Not many people could say that. I mean, a lot of guys have held that title, but then again, not many people could say that. And I'm sure people didn't think Bray Wyatt would ever hold that title, but he did. And that's, I got to see him at a house show the day after he won it. He still had the Cena plates on it. It was a tag. I think it was a 6-man tag. It was Cena, Harper, and Bray Wyatt versus somebody. But I got to see him live as the World Heavyweight Champion. That's something cool. I'm never gonna forget. I wanted to read the statement he put out when he was away from WWE. It's been making the rounds as of late. You have anything else to say about Bray before I read this statement?
No, not really. I mean, once again, just truly sad, you know, T's and P's to family, friends, you know, JoJo, his children.
Yeah.
Just everyone that knew him. I mean, you know,
just
36, he has,
also.
You know, young children. Yeah, just, it sucks.
Yeah, I believe they just had a child also like last year. That's unbelievable. So yeah, he tweeted this out on August 7th of 2022. And he just got it, man. This sums up what wrestling is. So here we go. Wrestling is not a love story. It's a fairy tale for masochists, a comedy for people who criticize punchlines, a fantasy most can't understand, a spectacle no one can deny. Lines are blurred. Heroes are villains. Budgets are cut. Business is business. But it can be a land where dead men walk, where horror makes you elite, or where honor makes you elite, where demons run for office and rock bottom is a reason to rejoice. Woo! Is an escape, a reason to point the blame at anyone but yourself for 2 to 3 hours, an excuse to be a kid again, and nothing matters except the moment we are in. Wrestling is not a love story. It's much more. It's hope. And in a world surrounded in hate and greed and violence, a world where closure may never come, we all know a place that has hot and cold hope on top, for better or for worse. Unbelievable words. Thank you, Bray Wyatt, for the memories. I mean, you left behind a legacy that will truly, truly never be forgotten, and you kind of changed the landscape for creative storytelling in WWE and characters itself, man. Thank you, Wyndham Rotunda.
Follow the buzzards.